We are also fortunate to have had a moment of conversation with Allison Lancel. Allison is a registered nurse, a Peruvian shamanic practitioner. She is a second degree Reiki master, a graduate of Wiracocha Institute Center for Spirit and Consciousness. She is certified in the state of Washington as minister, spiritual healer, and earth steward through the Assembly of Spiritual Healers and Earth Stewards Congregations. Here is Allison Lancel, along with John Lancel.
So we're thinking about and musing on ceremonial gathering, the gatherings in ceremony, as a means by which spirits gather, either for their own entertainment or what we hope for is for the illumination, for the teaching, for the transcendence of the human condition.
Well, it is in the gathering of it's a combination of things that make up this recipe. You have the energy of the people that are present, and that energy, the hearts together, and the ritual itself is what invites our lineage, the spirits, the elders, the wise ones, and we call to them. They enrich us. They bring us information that helps us to grow, to find our way, to return home to the healing of our own divine self. Some people call it enlightenment. Every moment is an enlightening moment. But this is a fertile opportunity for that gathering. And we know that the more that we gather, the energy that that container holds is what is vital. It's what's vital. The ritual, the ceremonies, and all that.
I like the fact that what the gathering means to me is that it goes across the borders. There's so much opportunity to explore different modalities. And the modalities that come together are one of the same consciousness, in that we are exploring truly, you know, an avenue to expand our awareness.
Would you say that the concept of the ritual gathering, the ceremonial gathering, is the necessary tool to bring the spirits present?
I think that ritual and community are extremely important. The rituals that we perform from many different tribes really bring together a sense of community that's really strong and hard to not get on the everyday plane of life, you know?
I think it's missing in our cultures. Our cultures became separate. Like, we've talked about the tribes dispersing into the four winds, literally. And as we became separate, we lost our way in how to connect. And the connection that's vital for each of us to grow and to be able to connect with the divine is what this brings home for people that are able to participate in this. It brings it home in a way that's profound. And there's a beautiful nuance or added benefit to these gatherings, because we all come with our uniqueness, and what one individual maybe has an edge on, they can reach out, and with their energy and their assistance, that brings you along, and then you're able to do the same for someone else. And as we weave this together, we're way greater as a whole than we would ever be individually. And we all benefit, because I always say, if we were all perfect, we wouldn't be here. We'd be ascended masters and we wouldn't be here. So we all have our humanness, and we bring that to the table in ceremony too, but we bring great hearts. And I believe that the spirits and the ancestors are just waiting for that moment. They're just waiting to give us a hand up.
I think it's a very loving, nurturing environment that is created in this experience. And when I go, I just try to surrender myself to the whole experience. I mean, I have something to offer, but, you know, if I talk too much, then I haven't learned anything. And the way we go into silence and rituals and things like that gives us plenty of opportunity to just to meditate and to take in and process the experience.
From your own traditional experience, your tradition, which I'm going to ask you to speak a little about, is a South American Peruvian tradition. How does this concept of ritual gathering play out in that tradition?
In our culture, we're all probably aware that we tend to primarily live within our heads. That basically just gets you there in your head. And it's the gatherings and the teachings that bring that rich experience. And this isn't unique to Peruvian shamanism. It's the gathering that speaks to our soul. And that's our way to opening, to healing, to becoming, to connecting. And all that we do in ritual and ceremony is to honor the spirits, to honor our ancestors, and recognize, it's been said, and it is so true, we stand upon their shoulders. And with our ceremonies and our teachings, and that's exactly what we're doing, is making ourselves open and available to that experience. And we often say, you know, we're not the teachers, the experience is the teacher. And that's what brings it. And when we come into ceremony and we come in with our heads, that's one thing. But ceremony opens our soul. It opens our heart. And this is where we can hear from our heart. This is where we can make sense. And this is how the Western mind can transition.
Yeah, I find that the Peruvian shamanism is replicated in the Celtic shamanism. It's earth-based. It respects the mother, and it ties all of those things together that you start to understand as you study different modalities, that all of these original concepts and stories are shared within the world.
Yeah, as you study, you realize that these archetypes rose up in the world simultaneously from tribes that never had connection, and they still are evolving and rising up, and it's part of our consciousness expanding. And it's like one of my teachers, you know, they say shamanism is the oldest religion. And, you know, I don't subscribe to religion, but it's the oldest teaching, I think would be a good way to say it. And it's never lost its way. It connects to those things which are of the natural order. We call the earth Pachamama. And Pachamama is, Pacha is where time and space intersect. So when we refer to Pachamama, it's where we sit on her belly right now. And so we call her Pachamama. And we know that we need to honor her as much as we honor Great Spirit, and that the archetypes that we use and that we communicate with are crucial for our own teachings and our own understandings of how we weave and work our own lives, the theme of our lives, and how we make these things come into a state of fruition. We often say we're looking for truth, and we know that we're taught the opposite of truth oftentimes. But what I'm trying to say is we're born and we're taught through our language what things are. And it's from the symbolism of an object to who we are and what our position is within our own culture, our own values, our own worths. All these things are taught through our language. We spend time within the teachings then seeking truth and unpeeling and releasing these layers so that we can really understand what our true nature is. That this other stuff is all stories. That's all it is. It's stories. It's not true.
I think that religion is words, and it's always translated. All languages are translated by the culture, and how we perceive them comes from the culture. And religions tend to have a culture of their own language, which separates us. But spirit does not have that culture. Spirit is universal. And at that point, we can all come together over spirit.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the beauties of these very big gatherings. And I'm sure that's what our ancestors considered, that, you know, the story says that all these people of all the different tribes and all the different songs came together, and yet they all came for a common purpose. And when the ancient ones descend, there are no words about how we understood what they were saying. We just listened and we knew. We all spoke different languages. We all had different concepts and traditions. And yet, when the ancient ones descended, we all knew. And I'm wondering if ceremony and gathering, one of the fundamental basics of gathering is that the ceremony, the ritual it holds, is that universal language. It doesn't require our heads to explain it, more our bodies to do it and our hearts to feel it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to stay out of your head. Ideally, you should be out of your head. You should be feeling. And yes, our bodies do remember. They haven't forgotten. It's in our DNA.
Yeah, it's the same as water. We need food, water, and shelter. And we need spirit. And spirit comes in to help fill that understanding that we are connected. And it's universal. It's just that we're trying to find, with our current language, a way to connect everybody. And the only way I feel we can connect is by having a ritual in that respect. Mm-hmm.
Alison John, you are going to be at the Tree and Star Gathering in May. Can you tell us all, everyone who's listening, a little bit of what to expect from you when you're there?
We are going to be working with one of our favorite items, which we call death ceremony. Within this teaching, we're always looking for those things that don't serve us anymore, that we need to release and to let go of. And this is, it's as simple as every little aspect of your life is a life-death cycle, life-death, life-death. It happens all the time. Our breath in is life, our exhale is death. But we don't think of it that way. And our culture has an extreme fear overall of death. So within the death ceremony, we do a work where we're looking at those things that are our fears. And because they're our fears, they're keeping us from living. They prevent us from enjoying life, from dancing, from being fulfilled, and all of those things that we seek. But our own fears and our own worries and everything else that comes up in life holds us back. So in ceremony, we're taught that we can actually learn to let go of these things, sometimes in little pieces, sometimes the whole enchilada. We hope for the best. But within the ceremony, it's really, really beautiful. We do it as a group. We hold space for each other. So one person at a time actually goes through the ceremony. After they've prepared with journey work and talking with each other and sharing things from their own lives, they come up with an intention of something that they would like to change or maybe do differently. And so they hold that intention. And then within ceremony, we sing to them. We sing a traditional song that's quite sweet. And it comes out as a chant that just goes on and on and on the entire time that we're in ceremony. And within that space, then we take the spirit body, the energy body, we release the chakras, and we lift it out, and we say that we're shooting it to the stars. And the archetype that we work with is one that we call Chako Chinchai. Chako Chinchai is the rainbow jaguar in our tradition. And it carries the teachings around what we call Munai. And Munai is perfect love beyond our wildest understandings of what love is. It's love in the grand scheme of perfection and a huge dose of compassion. Sometimes it's righteousness. It's all of those things. But we call the Chako Chinchai this archetype. And when we release this energy, we call the Chako Chinchai to pick it up. And we say that Chako Chinchai rises in the east and follows the sun to the west. So he travels. He, she travels through the dying sun and comes back up again. So this energy circumnavigates Pachamama. And so when we're shooting this energy body out with a whoo, you know, we do this little lift and glide, Chako Chinchai comes and takes that energy. What people experience is a very interesting kind of bilocation type of experience, because they still hear the song. They still feel their heart beating, and a lot of people's hearts are really beating at this point. But they have an experience. Sometimes it's vision. Sometimes it's something that they just know. It's as varied as the people and the experiences are from small to grand.
What do you call that? By what?
By location.
By location.
Within the ceremony, I track my people. I track where they are and kind of keep tabs on what they're doing and then welcome them back. Sometimes you get it's so fun to do that you get the occasional person that would really rather stay out there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just have to beckon them back and bring them back. And when we bring that energy body back and bring it back into the body and close the chakras and pat everything down, that's usually the aha when people really get that they've been somewhere, particularly if it's their first ceremony. So it's dying to that old self and releasing and letting go. And we do this down here at our retreat center down in Snohomish, Washington. And my students and my clients, this is one of their favorite ceremonies. I think they'd like to do it as much as they could. And in the Peruvian tradition, they do this ceremony for all significant events. So we call it a resetting of the medicine body. The medicine body is your energy body. And so it's releasing the software that's not serving you setting up with new.
I think that one of the nice things about it is it teaches you how to die to the old self. And not only in this the ceremony, but the concept that in being dying to the old self on a daily basis, waking up in the morning and knowing that you've died to yesterday, and to experiences that may be traumatic that may create a level of dying to the old self. And it's being available after that, it's realizing that you have that gift to be able to die to the old self. It's not bad. It's sort of like a baptismal.
Well, eventually.
You're to be reborn is the idea, but you don't have to be dumped. You just have to be separated from your body. That's all.
You have to be separated from your head.
From your head.
Eventually, when you do this work enough, you start to understand when you're in the moment of great grief or crises or whatever else, that the world's still spinning, that the sun is still rising, and that everything else is okay, and you're the one that's in turmoil, and that you have a choice. You can let it go and be in a blissful place, or you can continue the turmoil. So eventually, that's what the teachings brings us. That's the eventual goal, is that we letting go of those things so that we can live in fullness. So this ceremony is a nice way to kind of jumpstart that type of process for people. We're not too enthusiastic about it.
No, I'm picking that up straight away. The theme is the impossibility of love. And I think the ceremony you've just described really in a very positive way highlights the impossibility of love, that love is seemingly impossible, but that's just because it's in our heads rather than in our hearts.
It is. And another thing around love, as we try to wrap our thoughts around what love is, it's in our culture that we tend to think that love is something that we give, and therefore if you give it, you expect to receive it back again. And so it becomes a thing that becomes a tug of war between people. I gave you my love. You better give me your love back again. And there's like an expectation and an ownership. And that's really not the essence of love. The essence of love is given fully and deeply, and it just is. It's a state of being. And that's the type of love we're looking for, is the state of being. And it's not about something that we control as a gift. A sense of power.
No, love to me is unconditional. It's just being in love and understanding, being in love with the trees behind your head, being in love with the woods and the birds and people. And it can be the same kind of love that just irradiates from yourself. And you have to be able to first have love in your heart. Otherwise, the game's off.
And that's what your ceremony appears to be doing, bringing us back to having a heart of love so that we can be in love with the rest of the world.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And ourselves.
And
you have to love yourself with wild abandonment. You really do. That's a dying right there, letting go of all the baggage that we carry about ourselves and the shouldas and the couldas and the remorse and the, all this type of stuff that we carry around. It's useless baggage.
That's why your program is so good. You have wild rage going on in the evening with the round fire, and you're releasing those things. If people could release like they dance, you know, and all the baggage they have during that dance ceremony, then they would just all fall in love instantly. Why not?